evening, 1 and all. Yes, October. And it's a bit nippy here in Connecticut where I am. As they say, winter draws on, and it certainly is. It's coming to that thing, but you can't really complain when it is October after all. But I am here, and so is my guest. Now, in the end of the song, there's a bit of cup of sorcery magic in the morning. Unfortunately, I forgot to make me tea. I was so rushed doing other stuff. I was just telling my guest, it's been one of those, starts off bad, gets a bit better, well, and now I haven't got my tea, so I've got to do a show without a cup of tea. I'm not sure if I'm going to manage, but my guest is here, and I am here. Now, when in England, anything, there's a place called Watford Gap, which is, I guess, about 10 miles outside London, a little bit further north than what I used to live at. Anything north of Watford Gap is classed as the north of England. So anything from the lower Midlands or the Midlands up through to the north. And so obviously, because of that, and being in the London area, I'm from the south of England. So I am a southerner, I guess. And so is my guest today. So you've got a mix of accents today, I tell you. But I better introduce my guest, haven't I? Because before I'm waffling on here, trying to work out what the heck I'm doing without my tea. But I better introduce. On the show today, I have the one and only Amanda Humphreys. Hi, Amanda. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you? I'm doing wonderful.
Well, that's good. I'm glad one of us is. As I started to tell you, it's one of these great... I came back from... I sort of work at a flea market the weekend. And I got in the car to come back on Sunday. And I got this low tyre warning. And I thought, oh, I'll stop and pump it up a bit. You know, it might have just been, you know, with the weather or something like that. Anyway, I got home, got up yesterday morning, flat. Looked at it.
Oh, no.
Great big nail sticking in it.
Oh, dear.
So I thought, oh, my goodness. I've got AAA out because I have, in my age, I have trouble sort of bending to undo the tyres and everything. And after I pay for it, they changed. Yeah, they put the emergency one on in about 3 minutes, I should think. And I was going to say, oh, I'll just get it plugged. And then I looked at it and all the inside was worn. Obviously, you know, the balance had gone. So I had to get two new tyres, and of course tyres are very expensive these days, like everything else, but anyway, that was it this morning, got up for that, and say now I haven't got my tea with the show, I'm hoping the wife will sort of realise and bring me my you know, make the tea and bring it in, but never mind, I am here, and you are here, very important, obviously,
we are.
I guess. Now, one of the questions I always ask or tend to ask is, you know, were you writing little stories as soon as you could hold a crayon? And in your case, this is true.
It is. So I began writing at an early age. I just never pursued the path of getting it published until I was an adult.
Yeah.
So I love to write. I have a vivid imagination. And I'm good at it. You know,
how
some people trend to be really good at certain things? Well, writing was always my niche. It was the one thing that I was really well at.
Creative gene. That's what we call it. Whether it's writing, and you get people that can paint, people can do sculpture, people that can write, people that can, you know, compose. But that's it. You've got this gene and you got it. So you said, you know, this early stuff. Is there a big question is, does any of that early stuff still exist?
It possibly could, and my mom's at it.
Do you know, because that's why I asked, because that's the thing. Now, you know, just imagine, you know, you get these painters having their art exhibit, you know, and these people are going, man, wonderful, look at this artist, beautiful stuff done here, wonderful thing. And then the mother's standing there, but look at this she did when she was 4. And there's this person standing next to a house that they're bigger at, you know, with purple hair and stuff like that. I can imagine that with a writer saying, yes, but look at this wonderful little story she wrote when she was in kindergarten, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm glad it's still around, because you never know.
Well, you know, when you have kids and you're a writer, all of their teachers automatically think that you should edit their papers, right? So one thing that I find very funny is last year my twins come home with their English paper and they're like, Mom, our teacher told the whole class that you'd be so good at editing. So I sent her a little note back on it and said, I have an editor. I don't even have to put a comma. So I'm sure when I was little... I may have not put commas either back then. So
well, commas, and to be quite honest, full stops, as we would call it, you know, a period, as American would call it, don't seem to be in writing anymore. You know, like longhand writing compared to printing. Everybody just, it's like looking at somebody typing without commas, full stops, and stuff. It's quite amazing, I think. It's just how things are going. But that. So what finally pushed you into, you know, writing something to get published?
Well, so I'm one of those that I value time, right? I think your time is important. My time is important. So I had an idea for a manuscript, but I knew nothing about manuscripts or how to really get one out there. I contacted a friend and I said, do you know any editors? And she's like, yeah, I know this one in Tupelo, and her name was Kimberly, and she's still my editor. And so I sent her three chapters and I said, look, I just need you to look at this and tell me if it's worth me finishing. And she kind of said, Amanda, we don't look at three chapters. We kind of look at a whole manuscript.
Right.
And I said, well, I don't have a whole one, and I'm not going to write a whole one if you tell me it's not worth writing good. She came back and said, you need to finish it. And I said, okay.
That's good. I mean, if you know, they say you need to finish it, that's good. That's good. obviously, they thought, there's some promise here. I know you know, obviously you come from the south, was it Mississippi area or something like that?
So I am originally from Mississippi. I live in Tennessee now, so I've stayed pretty much to the south. And my family is still all in Mississippi, except for my husband and my children. We reside in Tennessee.
Right. I mean, do you try and bring the southern stuff, you know, like the hospitality and stuff like that into your stories?
I do. I bring a lot of the southern language that you might hear, y'all. Things of that nature. But you might hear some, when you read it, you might see some of the verbiage from, like my grandmother would say, just some quirky things like bless your heart.
Yes.
Bless her heart.
Yes.
You know, we say that for everything.
Yep.
Bless their heart. So I use that type of writing for sure. It's southern.
I must tell you, I had, it must be about a month ago. I forgot where I was. I might even have been on a Thursday. I take the dog down the brewery. She thinks she's the greeter there. She just waits there and everybody comes in. She has to go and say hello. And I was chatting to somebody from the south down there and they said about y'all. And I said, oh, isn't that something you, a woodworking tool or something like that? They said, what? I said, y'all. It's a woodworking tool. I was just being a bit, a bit snidey on them. But yes.
Well, you know.
When you type, do you actually type that? You know,
I do. And you know, what's real interesting is it does not autocorrect. Y'all is a true word on my computer.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Well, see, I have enough trouble with, when I did my books, I was over here when I did my books. So it was American correction, right? Fair enough. But there's one bit where my hero gets an email from his parents, and I wrote that in English, shall I say, you know, with the spelling as in English sort of thing. And somebody says, that's... you spelled all words wrong in this. I said, no, that's a message from his parents who are English, and they've typed it in English. I'm not sure who won on that one. But so you had the three chapters done. And
I did.
And how long after that? Did you sort of then sort of think, well, you know, this is interesting, I'm going to knuckle down and get on with this?
Well, I worked full time. I had three children, so there was no knuckling down per se.
Right.
It was more when I could squeeze in the time to get it completed. When it was finalized, I went ahead and have her completely edit it before I sent it to publishers. And what's kind of crazy to me is within 30 days, I had 5 contract offers on it.
Oh my goodness.
But
don't tell everybody.
Yes.
I mean, everybody's thinking I've been here trying this for 10 years and I haven't got one. And you give.
Wow. I didn't say they were all wonderful contracts.
It doesn't matter.
But...
at least you got a reply.
I did. And so what I think is phenomenal about it is my contract I signed with Touchpoint was for 5.
Yeah.
So there's 5 in the series. So.
Okay. Well, you've done the one, and this is the, is it Family Circle? Is that the name of
it
the series?
Is. Right. Yeah. So the series is Family Circles, And each book in the series is titled off the character. So the first book is Family Circle, Claire St. John.
Okay, and that's been out, what, a year or so now?
Yep, it came out last November. So it's been out almost a year. And then book two, which is Reese Sanders, launches on October 11th.
So any moment now, we have book two. So this is a good bit of timing. And so what's Reese Sanders? Is that book
Reese
two?
Sanders, yep.
Okay. Now, yeah. And you said it's a 5-book series. So have you sort of done like 3 and 4, or are you in the middle of them? Where are you with the others?
Well, so I was at a really good start on book 3, and I got up to about chapter 3, and I took a little bit of break from it because I wanted to restructure the plot on it. Mm-hmm. So I'm back in it. I will turn it into my publisher at the beginning of the year, so it'll come out fall of next year. Book 4 is in my head, and book 5 is still in my head, but they're really good. I promise, Barry.
Now,
really good.
Well, of course they are. I mean, five contract offers. I mean, Claire St. John being the first one, do you have the characters for the other books? Are they in the, you know, the books before, or are they a totally separate, almost a standalone?
They all progress throughout the series. So what you'll see in the first one is you'll see some changes in their lives, and the characters will roll to book two. But book two will focus on the main character, which is Reese. Book three focuses on Gabby, which was Claire's sister. So you get to see I'm a series reader. I love series because I like the progression of the family or the events. So you actually get to see them grow. You get to see the children grow up. You get the whole family unit.
I know faith is very important to you. Do you manage to bring that into your books?
I do. I try to bring it in where it's not just so boldly in your face the entire time. Does that make sense? Like, I want readers who may not have faith as their focus to be able to enjoy the book as well. But I want my faith-based readers to see that faith is the basis for it.
And obviously, without giving too much away, in the first book, in the Claire St. John one, you know, she has a miscarriage, doesn't she? And, you know, that does put a lot of pressure on her and her marriage and everything like that.
It does. So my characters are, I try to paint a picture of realistic life. Mm-hmm. Even as Christians, we tend to face challenges just every day. And I think sometimes people get a perception as a Christian that you don't have as many struggles as someone that may not be a Christian. And that's just not true.
No.
We fight battles like everyone. Yeah. Everyone has the same struggles in life. And so that's what I try to really dive into is my characters, is life is not perfect for them.
It's interesting the fact that you've got the five with different main characters. Because one of the things we always say on this program, 10 years, 11 years since we've been doing it, is that no matter how you plot the story, characters come along, lead you down different ways. Minor characters want major roles, and some demand their own book, which in your case, it could be one of five. But did you have that when you were writing it, that you sort of tried it and then suddenly, oh, yeah, I want to go this way. No, this character says, no, this didn't happen. I want to go down this way direction.
They do evolve. I'll have it in my head, what I want to put on the paper. And as I start to progressively write the plot, I will see changes start to evolve. And right. I literally will see the plot for the next book come from that plot. So it's like a little cycle where they all link together, but they can stand alone if they needed to. Does that make sense?
No, I totally understand what you're saying. Absolutely. I mean, we've had some wonderful stories on here. And the one I use quite often is a lady who was on a 20th book, something like that, historical romantic fiction type stuff, and we were talking about this, and she was saying, she said, you know, that's exactly what happened to me. She said she tried to kill this one character off 5 times. Character wouldn't die. She wouldn't die. She had to go back and rewrite the whole thing to be a different thing. And you talk to authors and they understand that. But you talk to other people, they think we're mad. But it's true. One of the other things I know I find, I sort of pick my books up and I start reading them now, and I think, where did those words come from? That's not the sort of words I use. I have no idea. You know, and if I'm reading one of my sort of like romance stuff, I'm getting upset. Why are you getting upset? You wrote the blessed thing.
When I look at my first one, I can tell you my writing has gotten better. Do you feel that way?
Like, oh, yeah.
You progressively get better.
I mean, it's experience and stuff like that, because it's all a bit nervous the first time. You know, the first time you do this, you know, it's all a bit crucky. You know, I've done short stories, but I've never done this. In fact, what I did, I wrote my first YA in like short stories. Tell you how long ago it was. It was the times when we actually used to get a lunch hour. You know, not just a 2 second sandwich and get on with your work sort of thing. And you know, in that lunch hour, I did a chapter, you know, one or two chapters a week in that break, and I wrote it like little short stories, like the old Saturday morning cinema, you know, the sort of serial come and see next week sort of thing. And doing it like that, I think that helped definitely make it more of a page turner. But on the other hand, I don't think I could ever sit down and sort of go through like 3 hours of writing for a part. My fingers would be falling off for a start. I just don't think I could do that. But it sounds, you know, like in your case, you've got these whole stories going on in your mind the whole time and everything, and it's almost like you're trying to catch up with it.
That is true, because I'll start writing, like when I sit down this weekend to write on book three, I'll start thinking about book four, and I'm like, oh, I really need to eliminate this character, but I really don't want to. So it's kind of it's always play in there, and I'm like, oh, what can happen to this person today? You know, so I'm always forethinking. At the, you know, book five, I don't have an ending for it yet, because what if I decide I want a book six?
Exactly.
You know, I'm kind of an open ended.
It's funny, you sort of like that. I know two or three sort of like detective type convention authors we've had on this show. What they do, they just put their character in a situation and tell them, right, get out of it, get out of that now. You know, see how you could do it, and. They literally give their characters a challenge and sit and wait for them to tell them how to get out of it. It's people don't believe it, but it could be a parallel universe. You never know. We're just the conduit that types it down in this one and sort of thing like that. Second one is coming out, as you say, this month sort of thing. And this is Reese. And you said Reese is the main character?
She is. So you get an introduction briefly to Reese in book one. I always try to make sure that the main character for the book post that book is introduced at some point. You may not recognize the introduction because it may be so little, but she was introduced in book one, and she is the main character for book two. And Reese's story is really interesting, and it touches on a really hard topic for women. She's adopted as a child. She doesn't know who her birth parents are, but she really goes through a very tragic event where she is sexually assaulted. So it's, again, it's about her personal experience and her recovery from that.
Right. I know you said, you know, I know you've got twins and I think one other, but how do your kids see you as a writer? Do they ask you to help with their homework?
Yes. Every time there's a paper due, they're like, Mom, I'm not writing your papers. No. They kind of like it because their teachers are always like, your mom's a writer. And they're like, yes. But, you know, I think it's kind of unique for them, because I'll be talking about my characters, you know, as I sit in front of my computer, and they're like, are you talking to yourself? I'm like, yes, I'm talking in dialogue, you know, because you brainstorm.
Yes.
And so they've really got to be open to imagination to live with a writer, I believe, because their childhood's a little bit different. They hear all these stories and all these character plots and these settings, and they're like, where is that at? I'm like, I don't know, but we're going to, you know, make it somewhere. So,
see, that's why I talk to myself the whole time, you see. This is it.
We do a lot of that, don't we, as writers?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, it's these days, because I started doing these shows, do you know, it must be 13 years ago now, because I did shows to do the book publicity and stuff like that. And I was on a few shows, and I thought, these people leading these shows are terrible. You know, I'm having to I'm having to lead them through. You know, it's the equivalent of watching paint dry, but on the on the radio sort of thing. And I thought, well, I'll have a go at this. And there's a lady in the sort of writers group I was, and she says, I fancy having a go at this. So I was a guest on her show. She was a guest on my show. And then I went to 2 shows a week, then 3 shows a week, and, you know, then 4 at one time, sort of thing. And the second book's still on about chapter 40. I haven't got any further than that. The only thing I write there, I write parodies, you know, song parodies and stuff like that. But yeah, 4 radio shows a week and that. And it's, I guess this is where I'm aimed at rather than writing.
Well, it sounds like you stay busy.
Oh yeah, you've got to stay busy. Yeah. Otherwise I'll get bored. And, you know, I'm not one of these people who sit and do nothing and everything like that. When you were sort of, you obviously as a writer with young children, that did you create stories for them growing up? Because I remember my father doing a whole thing about this toot and hoot tugs that we used to have every Sunday. Us kids used to sit and, you know, go in their bedroom and they used to tell us a story, sort of thing. Did you do to tell your kids stories?
I did do stories with them, but I also come up with a lyrical song that I sang to them from when they were babies.
Yeah.
And I still sing it to them at bedtime now.
Oh,
and so
cool.
I try to bring arts to them, but none of my children enjoy writing. None of them enjoy reading. I don't know where I missed the mark at.
Yeah, somebody took a wrong turn.
I'm not right. I'm just like, oh my goodness. But I try to keep their imagination open,
well,
especially them being young.
Imagination is the thing. I mean, it does.
Yes.
If you can sort of harvest their imagination, I mean, you know, gazillion years ago, you know, when I was young, it was so long ago, the Dead Sea was only ill, you know, and yeah, we used to go out and, you know, play outside and imagine that we were this and imagine that you were doing that and you were building this, you know, and our imagination was our playtime. And you know, people know I'm the black sheep of my family. I'm the only one who isn't a teacher, sort of thing. But then I can't spell. But it's
that's what you have an editor for.
Well, now it do, yeah. But then we, you know, thank goodness for spell check these days. That's all I can say. But no, I think it is. I think it's the imagination is like a creative gene. It's a gene that's there, and if people use their imagination, it can be in anything, to be quite honest. It just encourages them to develop, and I think that this day and age especially, that's required.
I agree. I think imagination is extremely important to children and adults.
Yeah.
I think it brings about a perspective of happiness, and I think that if we would all just try to maybe dream a little more or imagine a little differently, maybe we would have a little more joy sometimes.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, you know, it sounds terrible, isn't it? But I was writing my funeral. I was writing my funeral arrangements. So yeah, I sort of said, I want this. Sports always been a big part of my life. I want people to wear sporting goes. I want this and I want this. I've got the music. I've written a couple of things to say and stuff like that. And I said, if anybody cries, I want them thrown out. I said, yeah, I want to celebrate my life, and you know, I've got a reputation for telling bad jokes, so I've got a few jokes I've put in and stuff. But then it is using your imagination.
It is. Well, now that you mentioned jokes, I put a couple of jokes in my book.
Good.
And really,
good.
They may not be funny, but my kids are like, they're really not funny, Mom. And I'm like, but I'm the only one in our family that's ever had a joke published at this rate. Okay, then. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got humor in my YA stuff and everything. But my wife just, I sort of tell my wife a joke, she says, how can you live with yourself?
As long as you think it's funny, that's all that matters.
Well, exactly.
Right?
I mean, and I must admit, I mean, I wrote the speech for our wedding. And I had some jokes in there, and people said, oh, that was such a funny speech. I said, why doesn't people laugh at it when I normally tell the jokes? Why does it have to be?
Maybe they just don't get your humor,
no,
or
I,
mine,
I, that
but
is,
that's
that
okay.
Is, that's okay. We know we're funny. Well, we think we are.
We think we are, that's for sure.
It has been great chatting to you, and it's great that you've got the other books all planned and everything like that. And a lot of, looking at a lot of reviews and everything, people really love the whole way you're doing the books and everything like that. That time is getting on, so what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find out more about you and, of course, your books.
Oh, thank you. So you can follow me on Facebook for Amanda Umfrith. I'm on Instagram. I am on Twitter as well. You can also go to AmandaUmfrith.com, and my books are available on Amazon.com, and they will be on Barnes & Noble as well soon.
That's great. Amanda, it's been so good chatting to you. Even without my tea, I managed to get through it, so that's good.
Add a little sugar to it.
I'm gonna make sure I have an extra bit of sugar before I finish the show. But thank you so much. Good luck with the new book when it comes out, and perhaps when your next one's ready, you come back and chat to us again.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Amanda Umfrith. So A-M-A-N-D-A, Amanda, and Umfrith, U-M-F-R-E-S-S, U-M-F-R-E-S-S. Put them together, Amanda Umfrith, add a .com at the end, and you get her site. And there's all things about her and the books and blogs and everything like that there. So don't forget, looks of books, lots of reviews, lots of great reviews. Second one's coming out, so you can get the first one now, and then by the time you've finished reading it, the second one will be out, and you'll be able to go straight onto it. Yeah, no messing around. And then just pester her for the third one. But that's how it goes. Anyway, I will be back tomorrow with another guest. But until then, as always, I have one thing left to say. Don't forget...